This show contains four-letter words and adult situations. But what did you expect? It's called Now That I'm Older.
And yes, we did this down racial lines.
Okay, this is already starting off really well.
But this is not going to go where you think it's going to go. Okay. Every night I would go into the bathroom and sit there on the toilet, sometimes while actually shitting, and sit there and count the money out on my bare ass thighs. Is that where they kill the animals, PETA? Huh? Is that where you throw them all in and gas them?
No, I think it's probably the bread.
Sorry about my shit intro.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Now That I'm Older with Shane Smith and Ken Baldwin.
A.K.A. KB Paper Stacks, A.K.A. Baldwin Escobar, A.K.A. Danger Zone, A.K.A. Vanilla Thriller, and A.K.A. MC Killer B.
No one calls you any of that. Do you remember believing in Santa Claus? Like that diehard, bottom of your stomach belief that there was this magical guy with a big round gut and a red suit with a beard and a hat, and he had a sleigh that was magic with farm animals pulling it, and he was able to deliver presents to every little girl and boy and mysteriously every adult as well on Christmas morning, like all by himself? Well, I remember that belief. I remember it very well. I remember believing that there was no way that anybody was doing this except for Santa. There had to be magic in the world, and this was real. Now, of course, I mean, I was a smart kid. I knew that unicorns weren't real. I knew dragons weren't real. I knew the fucking Thundercats weren't real. But Santa was real, okay? Santa was fucking real. There was no way around it. Santa was just real. And all the way up until I was around, I want to say 9 or 10 years old, I believed it. Like, wholeheartedly believed it. It always starts the same way with every kid, and I'm sure it was the same way for you. There was some asshole kid at school who brought up the conspiracy theory that perhaps it might have been your parents giving you presents instead of this magical guy. And immediately me and most of my friends are like, fuck you, dude. There's no way that my parents are doing that. First off, my parents are not that cunning. There's no way that they're going to be able to sneak into the living room while I'm asleep, right? Like, I don't even really sleep on Christmas night. I'm usually like laying there half awake the whole night waiting for the reindeers to be on the roof. Like, I'm waiting for that shit, but somehow magically I always miss it. I'm like, there's no way that it's my parents. And I pushed it away. It all started about a year earlier. Kids everywhere around Christmas time would start these little conspiracy theories, these little fires, and it starts springing up doubt in your mind. And for me, I started asking questions. I was that kind of kid. I always wanted to know what the real truth was. I asked questions. I studied things. I wanted to know the answers. Dad, are you seriously sure that there's a Santa Claus? Like, he really comes here on a sleigh? Like, remember when we lived in that house that didn't have a fireplace? Like, how did he get in? Oh, that's simple, boy. He used the front door. With houses that don't have a chimney, he just walks in the front door. And as a kid, I'm like, yeah, that sounds logic. I'll go ahead and buy that. And I pushed it away in my mind. And another little kid would come up with something, and I'd come to my mom, and I'd be like, are you sure that the reindeer are magic and that they can actually pull the sleigh? Well, yeah, why would they not be able to pull the sleigh? You can't have a magic guy who can deliver presents all over the world and not have magic on the sleigh. What's wrong with that, Shane? And in my head, sound logic. So I put it all away. Christmas morning comes. We have a great Christmas. And the next year, all these little fires start up. And I'm a year older. And I'm starting to think a lot more logically that there's no fucking way that there's a guy who's delivering presents in a sleigh that's magical. That's just not possible, okay? I'm a 9-year-old boy. I know that that's not possible. There's no fucking way that that's possible. But maybe. So I start asking my mom and dad questions again, and they keep coming up with perfectly logical answers for the reasons why they're 100% sure that there is a Santa Claus. And I keep wanting to believe, but in my head, I know there's no possible way that's true. Now, the problem with this is I've got a 3-year-old brother who follows me every fucking where. So any type of espionage that I try to pull in the house, anytime I try to sneak into some place and look around somewhere, Stephen is always right there. He's my shadow. That's just the way it was when we were growing up. No joke, the kid was everywhere I was. So one afternoon, I decided that I've got to know. And mom and dad said, hey boy, we're going to run to a Walmart real quick. You watch your brother for a few minutes, okay? And I said, okay, no problem. And this was the window I needed. I was going to get final empirical proof that there was no Santa Claus. I was going to find the Santa Claus presents. The ones that they would wrap up and put the Santa Claus thing on, I was going to find those gifts. And when they tried to wrap them up, I would know. But I didn't want Steven to know. So I keep like, hey, Steven, just watch TV for a minute. I'm going to run to my room real quick. No, I want to go where you are, Bubba. Where are you going? And he'd follow me. Finally, I said, fuck it. Come on, Steven, let's go. And I go into my mom's room and I pull open the door and I see the bounty. Like if I was a pirate, I would have went, arr, because there was so much shit in this closet. It was like 2 days before Christmas and I finally had enough. I'd finally had enough questions from kids at school, you know, questions and lies from my parents. I finally wanted to know. And there it was. G.I. Joe, Transformers, GoBots, because we thought GoBots were cool back then. I mean, I think it was mostly Steven. It probably was mostly Steven, but we even had GoBot toys. And I remember looking at all of them. Steven's like, oh my God, Bubba, can we play with those? I was like, no, these are Christmas morning. And I closed the door. And when I closed the door, it wasn't just the end of Santa Claus. It was the end of that magic that you finally were holding on to, that you finally had to let go of. And it was the beginning of taxes and the beginning of your back aching and the beginning of gray hair and the beginning of kids keeping you up at night. It was the beginning of growing up and becoming an adult. Hey guys, welcome back to another week of Now That I'm Older. It's a show about how getting older sucks but can be awesome at the exact same time. You can find us online at nowthatimolder.com. We're also on Facebook as well as Google Play, Stitcher, and iTunes. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the show anywhere you find us online because that helps us out a lot. And you can find us on Twitter and Gmail, but it's at imolderpc. And you can also find us on Twitter with the hashtag PodernFamily. It's a family of podcasters who come together to cross-promote each other, help each other out, and basically just spread the word about badass podcasts everywhere. If you go to Twitter and check out the hashtag PodernFamily, you're going to find our show as well as the Fickle Fanboy, the Corporate Homie Podcast, and the Afternoon Yap Podcast. And this week on episode 97, Take This Job and Shove It Part 1, we're going to talk about people who got fired on their first day, and we're also going to share some stories about some fucked up shit that happened to us at work. So check this out. We'll be right back.
Does either one of you have anything even remotely interesting to tell me?
Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. You're cool.
Fuck you, I'm out. Yo, why you gotta be yelling at me because I'm on the grill, B? I was thinking about that movie today. Yo, I'm Cuban, B.
Yes, Cuban B.
Cuban B.
Okay, so we're gonna do a list here of
a list of Cubans.
No, not a list of Cubans.
Why not?
It's a list of people who got fired on their first day of work.
I think I only know two Cubans. Fidel and
who?
Fidel Castro.
Oh, okay.
And Raul Castro. That's the other one.
I thought you said Adele.
They're brothers.
I thought you said Adele. I was like,
I don't think Adele's Cuban.
Totally not Cuban.
She's English. So,
yeah, I was about to say,
you suck.
She's not Cuban at all.
You suck. Oh, and that Evian kid.
Who?
The kid that Janet Reno sent back during the Clinton presidency.
Oh, yeah, dude.
His dad.
Elion.
Elion.
Okay, so we're not talking about Cubans. I don't know why you're stuck
Cuban
on
B.
I don't know why you're stuck on Cubans, but we're going to talk about people who got fired from their job.
Cuban cigars are legal again.
On their first
Thanks,
day.
Obama.
Thanks a lot, Obama.
That one's a true thing, Obama.
It is, actually.
Cuban cigars are awesome.
Okay, so this guy says, I got hired through a temp service to work at a local
telephone. Wait, I wasn't paying attention. These people got fired on the first day? What kind of douchebag gets fired on the first day?
So
I wanted to quit a job on the first day. I ended up quitting on my 90th day.
Well, hold on. We're going to work through this.
We're going to work through this. Like it's a fucking 12-step program.
I got hired through a temp service to work at a telephone company. No problem. I've done tons of telemarketing before. I figured it'd be no problem working on the billing customer service end. Nope. The first day they had me on the phone with linemen who were up on a telephone pole somewhere halfway across the country asking me which wire to cut. I had no clue what I was doing, and I had a mini meltdown while talking to my supervisor.
So I'd just be like, cut the red one.
The supervisor walks up, and she says, how do you possibly not know what you're doing? You'd clearly pass the test to get this job. My response was, test? What fucking test are you talking about? Turns out the temp agency was supposed to give me a test to apply for this job, and they completely forgot to do that. So this motherfucker first day shows up. He's
that
like,
one shouldn't count. He should have been fired. They should have been like, we're sorry, sir. This it shouldn't count as a firing. It was just
It should have counted as a firing. He should have gotten transferred to, like, I don't know, the customer service department or some shit like
that. No, he should have been sent back to the agency. And usually, because I've been hired through an agency before, for a dental company, usually in your entry period, you actually work for the agency.
Oh, like, yeah.
The company is paying the agency and the agency is paying you. And generally, they're paying the agency a lot more than you're getting paid, too.
Oh, yeah. They pay a shitload to the agency because your money's coming from, you know, from them. So they have to be able to make a profit off of you. It's not a good business model.
Right. But because they go and find you, that's why they get paid. But, I mean, that's just stupid on the agency's part. I did quit a job in the 90-day period, though. It's where you're supposed to see if you make it through the 90-day period. I was like, yeah, you guys didn't make it.
Why is it that you quit your job in 90 days?
Well, I mean, just to start, the doctor that, you know, I interviewed with told me he was leaving the first day. And he was like a seasoned veteran orthodontist. And the guy that they replaced him with was out of school that week.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Wow is the right word. And also, I was hired as a manager, and they told me I was going to be working as a orthodontic assistant. So I went from being in management to clinical when I was hired for management. Hadn't been clinical in like 6 years. So that was interesting. And they were just, I don't know, they were just really bad and mismanaged. They offered me more money to stay. They tried to get me to stay, but I left and ended up working where I work now.
So basically, they hired you for one job and you got another job.
With another doctor. It wasn't. And I left a company where I was in a nice position. So that's where I was an office manager when I lived with you. The company I was an office manager, Bright Now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember that. And then the you didn't Bright like Now, that job.
I didn't like that job. That's why I was looking for another job. But I was getting paid good. And they were just bad to their customers. And Bright Now became something else. They were big nationwide. Oh, Great Expressions.
Well, that's awesome, dude.
They're shitty.
Why the fuck do we need to go through the lineage of Bright Now, okay? What the fuck are we doing
originally
here?
It was Monarch Dental back in the 90s.
Okay, so on our list of people who got fired for their job on their first day, Mr. Draggy-ass story.
Fuck off.
this chick says she worked at Pita Pit in college for – I'm sorry.
What the fuck is a Pita Pit?
That's apparently a pit where pitas are. I don't know what the fuck a pita is. But apparently this person worked at a pita pit in college. And
is that where they kill the animals, pita? Huh? Is that where you throw them all in and gas them?
No, I think it's probably the bread. Huh? I think it's probably the pita bread.
That actually makes more sense.
Yeah. So about halfway through the first shift, the manager
fuck you,
asked
pita.
The manager asks if this person has a card.
Don't point at me.
He says, yeah, why? He says, you got to go deliver stuff for Pita Pit because I'm too hungover to do it. And you got to use your car. And he's like, okay. Because the manager gets on the speaker in front of everybody at Pita Pit and says this to the guy. He's like, do you have a car? He yells to him across the restaurant.
Interesting. Okay, keep going. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's. I got to admit, I've been put on the spot by my boss before, but never to a point.
I had one of our friends, David, worked at a little bar called Bob Russell's. It was on Pat Mill.
Yeah.
No, not Pat Mill. It was on Powder Springs and Sandtown.
Right. Hold on. Stop. Hold on, story time. I'm trying
this
to
is just
this
like
one.
This story. And he also owned a couple steakhouses, right?
Right.
Well, they ran out of bread, and I was just kind of hanging out, visiting with David, because he was the cook. Well, this dude fucking taught me into going and buying bread from Kroger, like all the bread they had. I didn't even work for the guy. I wasn't an employee. So I'm just this 18-year-old kid. He talks into going and driving across the town to buy bread and bringing it back. So what'd this guy do?
Well, apparently what the guy did was...
Sorry if I threw you off there, Mr. Long, drawn-out pause.
Well, sorry. I was looking at the story, trying to kind of catch up on where I was. The guy looks at him on the speaker still in front of everybody. He says, if you don't deliver for me, you're fired.
Wow.
He also says, if you don't pay for your own gas and then give all the tips to him, then you're fired.
Okay, none of this happens.
Yeah. The dude's making $8.20 an hour instead of $4.50 plus tips that the drivers make. He looks at this guy, hands him 7 bags of food and a list of MapQuest directions with 3 deliveries that are like over 11 miles away. Mind you, he says, hey, you still have to pay for all your own gas. And I'm like, fuck you, buddy. If you're having me drive like 50 miles tonight. So he calls me not even 15 minutes later, screaming at him for not making all the deliveries yet, and says that once I come back to give him all the tips, I was fired. With 5 deliveries to go, I said, fuck it. And I went to my friend's house and we ate the rest of the food.
Ate the food and kept the tips. That's
yeah,
what I would do.
Fuck that guy, dude. I'm telling you, if you're having a bad day and you decide to push me and like run me off the edge, I've been at a job before where I got fired for something stupid. I punched a hole in the guy's wall. This was like when I was 17 years old. But it was.
I got fired from your mom's job.
You also almost got arrested at my mom's job for the fact that you almost went and killed a manager before I ran you off the road.
I did not almost get arrested. I went in there like a G and handled my business. There was no almost arrested.
You were almost arrested.
I'm going to call BS on your statement. He was just scared. He was too scared to call the cops. Back then, nobody had cell phones, so it wasn't like we had to worry about it. No, I just told you, there was no drama when I got fired from your mom's job. I didn't want a job anyway. I was a teenager whose dad was making him go get a job. So the first time they tried some nonsense with me, I saw my out.
What kind of nonsense did they try on you at Burger King?
It was very simple. I went in and worked and was given a schedule. And the very next day, I was supposed to be off. And your mom's boss called her and said, hey, have that guy come in. And if he tells you he doesn't want to come in on his day off, tell him he's fired. So your mom was like, hey, just go phone Gary or whatever his name was.
Marion.
He says, if you don't come in today, even though it's your day off, I'm going to have to fire you. And I was like, sweet. I need to keep this hat. And this shirt, though, so my dad thinks I have a job at Burger King, and I need you not to tell him I'm fired, and we're all good. Okay, honey, I love you.
My mom covered for you when you got fired from Burger King?
Yeah.
Really?
Why would she not? I asked her to.
Because that's dishonest, dude. My mom's all like, you know, that don't do anything wrong.
Well, why is your dad making you work, honey? Because that's how my dad is. He doesn't understand that I need this leisure time. I'm already worked out so much at school trying to get my grades up.
Leisure time.
You know how
hard. Dude, I had like a job.
You know how hard it is to keep grades up. You know, well, you know, Shane has a hard time too, but he just don't have a choice to work. But that's okay. I won't tell your dad you lost that job. And you can keep the hat. Don't worry about it.
I am literally fucking seething as I hear this. Holy shit.
Do you
shit.
Need some money to get by for a couple of days since you ain't going to get a check? Your mom's always giving me money. Steven would bring it to me.
My mom was always giving you money.
$10 or $20 here and there.
I was always giving my mom money, which basically means that I was giving you money all the time, not realizing it.
You weren't giving it to me. Your mother was giving it to me.
Mom, I just want to go ahead and say, if you're listening to the podcast, we are definitely going to talk about this. I'm just saying that out loud right now so you know that when it happens.
I appreciated her. That's why.
Yeah.
You should have appreciated her more.
Shut your fucking mouth right now.
You should have appreciated her more. I sat and talked with her and listened and learned my lessons from her.
I don't want to talk to you about this right now. Okay, so the next person who got fired from their job says, I put in an application at a small Italian bistro to be a waiter. I never heard anything for weeks. Then out of nowhere, I get a call asking if I could come in to start training the next day. I was told to wear black on black, which means black pants and a black button-down shirt.
Thank God though, he didn't show up in blackface. I got fired for it. I was like, yeah, you deserve to get fired.
A black turtleneck and shit.
Or a slightly blacker turtleneck.
So the guy says, I showed up on the next day and the manager took one look at me and disappeared into the kitchen, then comes back and says they didn't need me after all. I'm a stocky bearded guy, not unkempt or attractive in my humble opinion, but I guess for whatever reason, she assumed I was young and fit and mixed me up with another applicant who apparently was young and fit and was clean shaven.
Okay.
Let me tell you something, dude. If I show up and you take one look at me and say, no, we didn't mean to hire you, I'm like, fuck you, dude. What's wrong with you? If you apply to get a waiter job and then they look at you and say the appearance you have, that, I don't know, man. There's something about that's kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
Then just as if to comfort the person after they've told him, you know, hey, we don't need you after all. You're not the person we thought we were hiring. They say, don't worry, you wouldn't have gotten paid for training anyway. Well, I would have gotten paid for the fucking job if I'd have gotten hired here too, wouldn't I?
Restaurants. I hate working there.
The thing about working at restaurants is just about everybody has a jacked up story about working at a restaurant. Next up, we're going to run to a quick promo break, but when we get back, we're going to jump right back into talking about some crazy jobs that we've had and some people who got fired from their job on their first day. So check it out. We'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
What is the Potter family?
Hey guys, it's Rad Dad Chad,
Jay Mills,
and Lil Man
from the Full of Fiber podcast.
Hey y'all, it's Juliette Miranda from the Unwritable Rant podcast.
Hey, this is Bro from the World of Row podcast.
This is Cyanide from the Little Geek Lost podcast.
Hey, this is Rick from Ice and the Face.
This is Nick from the Epic Film Guys podcast.
This is Greg from the Sports Stance podcast.
This is Knock from the Geek Ogre podcast.
This is Gareth from the Open All Powers podcast.
This is Paul from the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast.
This is Adam from Everyone Has a Podcast.
Hey.
We're Josh and David from the Scotch and Flicks podcast.
This is Matthew McDonough from the Passersby podcast.
This is Eric Mocker from the Mockers podcast.
We are you, podcasters coming together in a community to help one another grow. So follow us on Twitter at Podern Family and use the hashtag Podern Family in your tweets and retweet other people who do the same. Podern Family, where great podcasts come home.
If you're good at something, never do it for free.
Hey guys, it's TJ. I know you're enjoying the wonderful content the Rogue Intel Podcast Network provides you. We really couldn't do this without the support of you, our wonderful listeners. One of the best ways you can say thank you also happens to be one of the easiest ways. Just go to rogueintel.com/Amazon and do your Amazon shopping as you normally would. It won't cost you anything, and you'll be supporting your favorite podcast network. That's rogueintel.com/Amazon.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria!
Hi everybody, this is Renee.
And this is Kim
from Round Trip.
So if you love travel as much as we love travel, you should listen to the Round Trip Podcast on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network.
Or check us out on iTunes at Round Trip with Renee and Kim.
You can't handle the truth!
Why did you... Didn't you work at Dave & Buster's for fucking ever?
Yeah, but I didn't work in the restaurant part.
Dude, all of Dave & Buster's just seem like a hell on earth, if you ask
me. It is, but I mean, I was running scams in there making side money.
What kind of scams were you running on Dave & Buster's to make side money?
I was making good money, dude. I was making like $80 a night or so.
What sort of scams were you running on
Dave & Buster's? Well, see, I was a department head of this thing called Cinema Ride. Okay. Cinema Ride was a hydraulic room that made you feel like you were moving in a 3D video. So, like, it was a roller coaster that simulated a roller coaster and made you feel like you were on a roller coaster because it would tilt the whole room.
Right.
All right. So, they decided they were going to charge an outrageous amount of your little power card. So, like, you know, most games were like 4, maybe 8 tokens.
Right.
This thing was like 48 tokens for all the rides, which is equivalent of like $16-$20, right?
For one fucking ride?
No, there were 4 rides in the ride, but each ride was like 3 minutes long. So it was like 12 minutes of a ride for $20.
This seems ridiculous.
It was ridiculous, which me and the other line employees got together and were like, this is fucking stupid. Nobody's going to ride this.
So immediately
with my leadership skills, which is what they put me in the department head role for, I was like, okay, so this is what we're really going to do. We'll sell like some tickets to the white people. And yes, we did this down racial lines.
Okay, this is already starting off really
But this is not going to go where you think it's going to go. To the white people, we'll sell tickets like we're supposed to. We'll swipe their card and call it a day. But then Bo.
Of course. It always comes back to Bo.
Tim or so-and-so, when we're working on a shift together, I'll sit here and man the card and talk to the white people. You guys will go out and approach black people and offer them the whole ride for $5. Whole shebang. The $20 ride for $5. Cash only. End of the night, we'll take the cash. We'll split it up two ways. Whoever's working, I get half, you get half. I'll cover it. I'll make the books look right. Jeff, my assistant manager, who's the same guy who tried to kill me in the previous story we talked about, who was mad because I snuck into the Mormon church. He was my assistant manager, and this is after he tried to kill me. So there was already, we like definitely couldn't let Jeff know. Jeff couldn't know. He ran day shift, so he got enough business during the day to make it look legit. And we would just basically, and we only approached black people, not because we're racist, but because Dave & Buster's was racist, and they never hired black people to be secret shoppers, ever. Ever. It was always white people to be secret shoppers.
Did you just justify the fact that you only approached black people with this?
Also, black people abide by stitches get snitches, so they wouldn't tell on us. Dude, laugh all you want and point your finger all you fucking want. That security measure worked. We never got in trouble. And for like 6 months, we were buying weed and food and all kind of shit off of our illegal fucking side business.
The only illegal side business I ever ran at any place I worked.
Dude, I would go. Hold on. I'm not done with the story. Before you tell yours, let me finish this. Okay. Every night I would go into the bathroom and sit there on the toilet. Sometimes while actually shitting. And sit there and count the money out on my bare ass thighs as I was splitting it up. And I always took an extra cut because I was the boss. and then would pay. Sometimes I had two employees out working the floor. They're supposed to be working the game. I got them out working the floor. Dude, there were nights we made like $150 each.
That's fucking ridiculous, dude.
Oh, dude, and we ran the scam until I get fired for throwing a football.
You got fired for throwing a football?
Yeah, there was a manager. He was on to us. His name was Rip. He's a little short Mexican guy. His name was Rip Ortega.
Coming to the ring.
He hated me.
Rip Ortega.
He hated me, and I hated him. And I would just fuck with Rip all the time.
Dude, was he a luchador?
He looked like a luchador. He had, like, white hair, though, because he was old. He was just a little mean-ass.
He was a retired luchador is what he was. I mean,
so there was a dude named Savon, a black dude, who worked in what was called the Winner's Circle, where they gave out the prizes.
David Busters is black, but they hired a black guy.
They're racist. They hired a lot of black people to be the help. So Savon and me are working that day. He didn't work in my department. He worked in the Winner's Circle, which gave out the prizes.
Right.
But they also manned some of the little games. Like, he was manning the free throw game, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So he's manning a game where you throw a fucking basketball to shoot three throws. And he takes one of the footballs that's from the prizes, and me and him start tossing it. Now, we used to have an assistant GM who would play football in the Winner's Circle with us.
Right.
So we just start throwing the football, fucking having a good time. Midday, it's day shift. There's nobody in fucking David's Busters in the middle of the day on a Wednesday. So Rip sees us and comes running over at the top. He's like Dwight from the fucking Office. This motherfucker finally has this thing. He's like, blah, 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 blah. I was like, you know what? I just don't feel like hearing your mouth today. I quit. He was like, what? You can't just quit. I was like, dude, it's America. I just quit and watch me. Well, I don't know what your little 5'2" Mexican jumping mean ass is going to do about it, but I'm not even going to go out the front door. I was like, I'm not even going out the back door like employees are supposed to. I'm going out the fucking fancy front door in my uniform, and you're going to suck my dick about it. And I'm going to drive my car around the parking lot a few times, maybe. I don't know.
I don't think you said any of this stuff to him. I think you might have said the American thing.
No, I said all of it to him, especially the part about driving around the parking lot. Because I hated Rip. I hated Rip so much.
I don't see how we're glossing over the fact that Rip Ortega is probably the best luchador name ever.
Ironically, this guy became David's like favorite manager, and he's the one that promoted David through Dave and Buster's.
Because David's a huge wrestling fan.
Well, no, and he David's, was able to bond David's with very much a fan of authority. David is always playing by the rules and, you know, trying to get ahead, where I'm always the one who's like, man, fuck your authority. How about you bend over and fuck that authority and eye up your fucking little Mexican ass? I'm going to drink this fucking... And I mean, I did do dickhead shit, because when you're a department head, you get paid to come in and have like admin days. And most people, because they're trying to play the game, trying to make something out of this Dave and Buster's career, they'll come in and work their ass off and then take their admin. I'd come in and be like, well, take my admin and go ahead and get me my free lunch. Sit down at this booth and take about a couple hours to write these schedules while I'm having a Philly cheese sandwich. And I had another manager who's cool. He's friends with me on Facebook now, that he's free from that fucking hell pit. He sat down one day. He's like, you really think you should take your admin when you first get here and eat lunch? And I'm like, fuck yeah. I'm not trying to make a career out of here, man. Managers top out at $45,000 a year, bro.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. And they make them buy suits and like work like fucking slaves.
That's the problem with the whole restaurant industry. Like, I worked at plenty of restaurants, dude. I worked at a fucking Po' Folks.
Oh, dude. And it,
hold like, on. They put me in Po' Folks when I got started there, back before they dropped the Po' and they were still, you know, they were
yeah,
still.
Yeah, I remember Po' Folks.
So I'm working at Po' Folks and they put me in the kitchen. Now, mind you, I've never in my life
the country fried steak is so good. That's all I want to say.
Never been a line cook at Folks, Po' Folks, Longhorn, anywhere, nowhere, right? And they hire me for night shift. Okay, not like in the middle of the afternoon shift. Oh no, they hire me for night shift. So I'm cooking all kinds of shit. They have to teach me from the bottom up how to cook a steak, how to cook a country fried steak. So I'm doing all this shit, and I'm learning this shit. I'm getting better at it. Everything's slowly going well. Everything's, you know, falling into place. And one day the guy says to me, the manager, he walks up and says, I want you to clean these fryers. And I'm like, how do I clean the fryers? Never cleaned a fryer in my entire fucking life. This is the first time I've ever had a job. I've worked at fast food before this, but this is the first time I'd worked in like a sit down restaurant kitchen. So he walks up and he hands me the thing and he shows me how to pull the grease out. And you had to have that little contraption. You've cleaned fryers before, right?
No.
You haven't?
No.
Well, there's this little fucking like R2-D2 robot looking thing that you have to carry around, but it's like squat. It's like smaller. It's like that big around though. And you carry
it's like
around
the square version of R2-D2 with the
no,
little
it's,
foam
it's
legs.
It's circular, but it's like fucking, it's like a little platform thing that you roll around. It's like,
it's the worst description ever.
It's a circle. It's basically a circle.
Don't draw it. The fans can't see that. It's not to draw it for you guys.
I'm going to draw it. You guys imagine. But it's like a circle with like walls that go up and you have a hose.
Okay, so you have a fucking bucket.
But kind of look, but you have a hose attached to something that looks very similar to like a gas pump.
So you have a bucket and a hose.
And then I have to open this little trap to pull this scalding ass hot grease out and
well,
put it in the
bucket. Well, aren't you supposed to clean it while it's not on?
No, you turn it off like way before, like at the very beginning of closing, and then you start cleaning it because you have to clean one and like while people are still working.
All right, get to the important part of this because I think we're learning way too much about grease traps than any of us ever need to know.
Okay, so anyway, I'm cleaning the trap and I'm standing there and the guy doesn't give me like, you would have thought that for a job like this, when I'm using scalding hot grease at 17 years old, you would have thought that there would have been a lot more training involved.
Right.
You would have thought that maybe the guy would have stood there for 15 or 20 minutes, like showed me how to do most of it and said, can you handle this? And then walked away. He literally walks up for about 5 minutes and says, here's the grease trap. Open this up. Use this thing to put the grease back in after you clean it. Make sure you put hot grease in it. Make sure everything's clean. I got to go do something else. Bye.
Maybe he thought you had some sense.
Well,
how'd it go wrong? Tell me how it went wrong. I'll tell you if it's your fault or his fault.
Everything was going fine. But the problem was, when I stood there, I got my feet underneath the bucket.
How'd you do that?
I was just cleaning it, and it pushed back. Like the thing is the pressure from the grease going into it pushed it back, and it pushed over the top of my foot. So I woke up the next morning after I've cleaned the grease trap. Everything went well while I was there. Everything seemed like it was fine.
Okay, I thought it was going to get way worse than that.
Oh, no.
So you wake up the next morning.
I put the fresh grease in. The guy was happy with it. I walked out. I left. I woke up the next morning. My feet had like second degree burns across the top.
How did you not feel that at the time?
I didn't have second degree burns, more like first degree burns, but it like literally.
You're a teenager, so they were like probably like, you had some burn discomfort, not quite full first degree, but it sucked. Like sunburn, bad sunburn.
No, it wasn't like bad sunburn. It was to the point where I couldn't put shoes on. So I called my manager that night and I'm like, hey, man, you remember last night when I was cleaning the fryers? Yeah, like I burned my feet while I was saying, how'd you burn your feet? What happened? I was like, well, you know, remember you just told me, like, here's the hose, here's the opening, just do it. So I did it and I burned my feet.
Yeah, like, you are kind of stupid, though. You're all on your feet.
I didn't feel it. It wasn't like it was a slow process to the point where it didn't like burn till the
what
very end.
What kind of shoes were you wearing?
Regular ass like work shoes, like fucking like the big thick black shoes that you would wear.
I
mean,
I
would have been
standing way back though. What kind of hot oil is hot oil. I knew that at 17. I'm not giving you a whole pass. I'm not giving your manager a whole pass either because that's kind of stupid too because he should have known that all 17-year-olds are pretty stupid.
I was pretty stupid.
But there's a little column A, little column B on this one.
So here's where the whole thing ends though is the guy calls me and he's like, so you burned your feet? That sucks, man. Are you going to be able to come in tonight? And I was like, did you miss the part where I burned my feet and I can't put shoes on?
Well, as
like,
an adult, you probably put your shoes on again. Pain tolerance is very different for a 17-year-old.
Precisely.
Because I wouldn't have any sympathy for you either. Even if I were me today and you were you at 17, I'd be like, you need to get your ass in here with your burnt ass feet. Or you need to not come back.
Well, remember though, 17-year-old Shane was a lot more boisterous than 39-year-old Shane.
Yeah.
So my response when he says, I need you to be in here tonight. Can you work that out and make sure you're in here? I said, well, sir, my feet are very, very burned, and I'm feeling the need to go to the hospital to make sure that they're not burned bad enough to have to be treated. So I feel as though I need to be off tonight and for the next couple of days. And as soon as
then
I
you
mentioned
go to the next couple of days, then you got greedy. That's what happened.
No. As soon as I mentioned going to the hospital, he said, why don't you go ahead and take this week off? And we'll go ahead and get you a check for this week since your feet are burned. And we'll see you next week. I never went back after I got the pay.
Yeah.
But seriously, dude, I burned the fuck out of my feet. That motherfucker should have told me. Be careful.
You were moving hot oil. You should have known to be careful. You're part of what's wrong with America. Blaming
I'm not
other
part
people.
Of what's wrong with America. Don't start with that
shit. You did
shit,
some
dude.
Common shit and you're blaming it on for somebody. That's like that lady who sued McDonald's for the hot coffee. It's coffee. It's supposed to be hot, bitch. What'd you want? Cold coffee?
Well, I mean, at the same time, it shouldn't have been that hot.
Shut up. Shut up. That nonsense.
No, I agree 100% that that was one of the most ridiculous cases that ever happened. How the fuck can you get
that's
two
why we live
coffee?
In such a society where now everybody is so cautious that everything's stupid.
Well, at the same time, though, if you go overseas, apparently people in Germany and shit like that, like, they're all rule followers, and they don't believe in suing the fuck out of somebody.
No, a lot of times, I have a German friend, and she gets so mad about this shit. She so believes if you do something stupid, you're on your own.
But apparently over there, they're just like, well, if you do something stupid, then you need to pay
they
for
think
it.
That Americans think the judicial system is a lottery.
Oh, yeah. And there's a lot of people that do.
Yeah, they do think that. And our legal system somewhat is.
You said doo-doo.
The doo-doo. I doo-doo all the time. Doo-doo a couple minutes ago. We were on break. It was a nice one.
That's gross, dude.
Firm, yet not uncomfortable.
Now that we're older, ladies and gentlemen, because I got
to
be honest.
Now that you're older, you have to up your fiber.
Now that you're older, you have to pay attention because things start looking weird.
That's
in the
true.
Bowl.
That's actually, you have to keep it up. You have to pay attention. To
it's so gross. It's so gross to say.
My stool's getting a little bit too thin. I got to upgrade the fiber.
It's so gross to
say.
I've been
eating too much protein lately.
So gross to say, but so true that you have to pay attention to how you're processing fiber.
Dude, if you don't pay attention to that shit, you'll get clogged up and you'll be sorry. You'll get backed up and you don't want backed up. She'll be like, you'll be on the couch not wanting to move. Okay. That's the sound you make when you get that way right there. Shane was just showing you.
Now that I'm older.
Eat regularly.
You should have said eat fiber regularly.
Eating regularly actually helps better than eating fiber.
I want you to know it's over.
Well. Bye.
That's it for Now That I'm Older this week, guys. I'm your host, Shane Smith. Thanks a lot for checking out the show. You can find us online, nowthatimolder.com, facebook.com/nowthatimolder, at imolderpc on Twitter, imolderpc@gmail.com, and check out rogueintel.com for our show, as well as all the great Rogue Intel podcasts. And check back next Thursday for a brand new episode. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a great week.
Based on my union membership, I tell you to go fuck yourself.
Kenny, we still have more to record. You can't just stop the show like this.
You should have been more efficient with your recording choices, sir.
And remember, my sentimental friend, that a heart is not judged by how much you love, but by how much you are loved by others.